Hello, and welcome to another episode of Preview of Tomorrow. I am your host, Mike Lake. In this preview, I will be talking to Andrew Watkins, the president and COO of Marketplace.City, a company that is making it easier for cities to find, validate, and buy technology and bolster innovation. This ability of government to adapt to citizen needs and deploy innovative solutions is about much more than just buying, or as we say in government speak, procuring new technologies. It is a foundational building block in the development of citizens' trust in government. Knowing that your government is meeting your needs, addressing existing challenges with new solutions, and taking advantage of every possibility to serve the whole community reassures us all that our public leaders are getting the job done right today, while giving us a better glimpse as to how life in our community can be even better tomorrow.
Innovation, resiliency, discovery. Join Mike Lake, President and CEO of Leading Cities, as we explore the technologies shaping the possibilities of our future with a preview of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining us. And once again, welcome to all of our viewers and listeners. I'd like to introduce you all to Andrew Watkins. He is the president and COO of Marketplace.City, a company with a mission to simplify the process for local governments to source, validate, and procure new technologies. Now, this might not sound like a normal high-tech solution to anything, but the reality is, if cities can't procure new technologies quickly, they're procuring old technologies. And we, as citizens, are not benefiting from the otherwise available solutions out there. So now, Andrew, tell us, how did you first get into this world of public procurement and how cities purchase new technologies?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me. It's a little bit, you know, like anything, it's a lot of serendipity and a winding path. I, as a consultant, stayed away as far away from government projects as I could, but then really loved working with startups and launching new things and starting, and so helped launch an innovation accelerator in Chicago, where I'm based, that had two platforms, an advanced manufacturing one, and then a smart cities technology platform that was really, how do we solve the big problems with getting IoT devices into the public space, right? No one thinks it's going to be easy to get to connected cars and talk in buildings and all that good stuff. But how do we come together, the public sector, the cities, the government, the agencies, the companies, the startups, the universities, and solve those problems? And so after helping launching that, really started to see and hear from all the sides of the public sector of how hard it was to procure those new technologies, the frustrations of the companies in doing it, and really seeing the gap of the great solutions that served residents and the business community and all that that were not being done because of that gap, and came together with the right people at the right time. That's a longer story, but that's how we launched Marketplace.City in 2017.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, putting into context, what is this challenge? I mean, I really barely scratched the surface by talking about, you know, the lost opportunity.
Sure.
But dive a little deeper into it so our audience gets a better sense of what those opportunity costs really are.
Yeah. So as you said, procurement's not sexy, right? Everyone knows that. It's a process, right, to enable something else. And we know that and people understand it. But the real gap is this. Governments exist, and state and local governments explicitly exist to deliver services that only they can deliver, or they're best suited to deliver, to the residents and the community and the businesses, right, and all the different pieces. And if they, in doing so, they need to match the expectations of those residents, not only because they won't, you know, they'll move away to other cities if they're failing, but because that's important for to create community. That's important to have a trust in government. And so it's really, you know, it sounds like, oh, that sounds far-fetched because we can't have new technology. But if you're so used to using your iPhone or your, you know, smartphone to do everything in your life, And then you're being told to get a permit for your car to park on the street. You have to go to City Hall and hand in a form and step online. You don't believe the government is competent. And if you don't believe it's competent in one piece, well, then how can you trust them as it relates to public safety or your water or other aspects of that? And so maybe I'm being a little bit hyperbolic on this, but they need to understand that if you fall farther and farther behind your city's expectation on the daily routine, and we might not think, are we really interacting with government all the time? But you are, right? Every time you cross a city street, every time, you know, the traffic lights don't do what you want to do, every time you have something like that, if you fall behind that expectation, your citizens don't trust you to do the bigger and more important things.
And when we talk about, you know, the opportunities or the challenges of cities, what we're really talking about is existing pain points for citizens. You know, whether it's, you know, getting stuck at that intersection for too long because the traffic light's not working, whether it's drinking, you know, contaminated water. I mean, from the mundane to the massive, we're talking about real pain points for real people.
Yep.
So when we really think about the process by which government, particularly local governments, have to go about sourcing and selecting and ultimately paying for innovative solutions, you know, to get out of the rut of doing things the same old way they've always been done.
Yep.
For all of our listeners, walk us through a little bit. What is that challenge? What's it really like?
So, you know, most people have probably not thought to the level of depth of procurement as, you know, our team spends doing. And that's fine. But a real important grounding piece is to know this, right? The public procurement process, which is different than, you know, the business that anyone might work at, an enterprise or a company's procurement is about, you know, sourcing, is about, you know, delivering low costs, you know, to be more efficient in your business. As a consumer, want to be just the most efficient and deliver the most utility to yourself, right? The most happiness to yourself of buying your things that your needs or those type, your either your basic needs or happiness. The government procurement process is really set up as a risk mitigator, right? You're charged with being responsible for government dollars, and that's important. So you don't want to dismiss that, and so you want to be transparent and fair in all those pieces. The hard part is, as the government needs to buy more and more things, and those things are changing and evolving as technology does way more frequently than concrete and road salts. As those things evolve more, it is hard for them to have the expertise or the data to understand what is out there, what other people are using, even though it's public record, right? It's visible all the time. We have open data laws. It's all out there and it's all there for them to see, but they don't have the time and the resources and staff, because that's paid for by tax dollars, or the databases and those things to go and do it. And so what we are trying to do is bring all of that data into one place for all of these ever-changing and emerging categories and inject it into their process so they can quickly, just like you and I would go on Amazon and see, I want headphones, I want a tablet, and I want to see all of them first, and there's 100. What am I going to do? Well, let's apply filters to it, because I want, you know, ones that cancel the airplane noise, and I don't need perfect audio fidelity for listening to classical music. Let's remove some of those so there's a subset that fit us. That's the same process that governments are really going through. Let's take a funnel, pour everything that's relevant in the top of the funnel, and then narrow it down to what's the best choice for us. And let's do that in an efficient manner, because it's not acceptable for a government to recognize, wow, we need an online permitting process, and then take 2.5 years to deliver it. Because as you said, if you take 2.5 years to buy it and deliver it, the choices you made at the start of that process are now no longer the market for that stuff, because it just moves too fast.
And so from the citizen's point of view, I guess, to what extent does the demand percolate up from the grassroots, let's say, versus, you know, coming top down?
Yeah, it happens in both, right? I mean, there's technologies that governments are buying that no one is necessarily out there demanding. The network infrastructure, they just want it to be on. But, you know, there is, as it relates to, you know, internet and high-speed internet and the government being a driver for maybe getting that, you know, into certain parts of the city. I think a great example are those citizen engagement tools, the websites, the apps, all the 311 so you can report a missed garbage pickup. I think people don't realize how frequently their interaction and a positive or negative is with the government, right? Like it can be as simple as the street sweeper didn't come today down my street. He was supposed to, right? Like that sets you off on something. A good example of it coming ground up is a lot around public safety and transparency initiatives. Police body cameras is very much a grassroots sort of driven program. If you think it's important and communities think it's important to have that transparency and have that stuff, and there's other aspects of those programs as non-technology, of course, training and other things of that nature. If you think that's important and it takes you 3 years to buy and implement, you are not meeting those people's needs. And I think we've even seen that in more recent times. And so you have to find ways. It's not the governments aren't being bad actors or bad natured to go and do this. They just don't have the processes and the tools to handle these types of buys in a more regular basis with the burden of budgets and other things like that. And so we need to give them that so that, yes, it still might take a little bit longer than you and I going onto Amazon and buying something and clicking, but it's going to be the most efficient that the government can be.
And one of the things we talk about at Leading Cities, working especially with startups in that business-to-government space, is that a lot of these decisions come down to an individual, right? And that individual, a classic example that I use, you know, mostly fictitious here, but if you're responsible for repaving all the roads in a city and somebody comes to you with this new technology, you know, that it's kind of like solar panel covered streets that's generating electricity and it's, you know, it's not only creating a revenue source, but it's also covering the streets at the same time, blah, 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 blah. As the purchaser working for the city, it sounds good, but the reality is for me to go out onto that limb by myself and do something different, there's a perceived risk. And that perceived risk quickly runs down the path of, I'm going to lose my job if this goes wrong.
Yep.
So knowing that there's that human component to this, how is there any way to tackle that dimension so that the trust in government that you're talking about, which is so critical, mm-hmm. is also allows people to have trust in their decisions as, yep. as the purchaser?
Yeah, I as a CEO in this industry who I've worked with for a while always says, I'm not selling my individual project. I'm selling against the perception of risk of my project. What I deliver, that means who I'm talking to in the city, whether it's Public Works or the CFO or whoever, but you're all selling the same thing. You're all selling the perceived risk, and that's spot on. And so I think that's, you know, sort of the key pieces, right? The information exists out there. That risk is higher in government because they don't, the risk reward model maybe isn't the same for a business, right? Where you're, hey, we can get growth and we can make more profit and those sort of things. The risk is, you know, I'm going out on a limb and it might hurt my job. And yes, I want to serve the citizens. I mean, again, people are generally, I believe, good natured, and they're trying to do their job. They're trying to, you know, serve their residents and do that. But that project you said sounds great. If they can see easily that it has worked in three other cities, that it had cost effectiveness in three other cities, that it had payback in three other cities, they're going to be much more likely to do it. So anything that you can do, and that's really what we do at Marketplace, right, is put that data together in a way that shows you have a smorgasbord of options. Here are the five that fit you the best. And oh, by the way, here are the three with the best case studies. Here are the ones your peers are using it. It doesn't have to be, if you're Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that what Miami is using is the right fit. If a city of the same size is Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that might be a better, you know, case study. And that might be a better match. It's hard to see all of those things, but you need to, you know, sort of bring that data together and show, just like we would, right? You have a lot more confidence when the ratings and reviews say 4.9 than they do when they say 3.1.
That's right. It's a great point. So, I mean, clearly Marketplace.city is creating a new mechanism to increase the trust on all sides, to reduce that perception of risk, to make it easier. So let's look 10, 20, 50 years from now, and marketplace.city is now the new standard for public procurement around the world. What does that mean? What does it mean to a city? What does it mean to me as the citizen?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in that kind of piece, and that's the, you know, sort of mission that we're promoting is use data-driven decisions, right? I believe, government consumers move first on something, businesses move next, and the regulated markets move last, right? So healthcare, government. I think governments using that data, being able to stay more on top of it so they're not working on, you know, 20-year-old systems, gives you a lot of things. It makes you be more efficient and more responsive to your citizens. It allows you to raise your service levels to your community, which is super important. And ultimately, you're making, you know, what we all talk about and wanting all the time is data-driven decisions, right? It's not going to be perfect. You're never going to have a perfect amount of data. But if you are looking at it and you're really looking at, well, these are the options out there, and this is the best data I can get in an efficient amount of time, it's going to make change easier. It's not going to be necessarily moving as fast as consumers, but it's going to allow those communities to evolve and be responsive. And, you know, we talk about it this time, sustainable and responsive cities, because there's unknown changes coming up, whether it's COVID or climate or other things like that. That's really important. And what it means then as a citizen is I'm just going to have a better experience, right? We know there is value to quality of life if we can better understand, our environment and our urban environment and, you know, preventable deaths as it relates to mobility and cleaner air and water and those sorts of things. And if we can get to those things faster, there's a very quantifiable aspect as it relates to like human life and human satisfaction and just, you know, sort of quality of life. And so I do think being able to bridge that data gap faster and sooner really is in everyone's best interest, not just urban, you know, but it's for rural communities as well.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much. Our time always goes by so fast, but this in this particular topic is one I think so many of us as just general citizens take for granted. We don't think about the purchasing side of government,
yep.
But without it, we don't get the solutions we need and want. So listen, I'm sure there are folks that want to learn more about what you're doing and the opportunities out there for cities. How do they learn more? How do they stay connected?
Yeah, I mean, people can go to the website. It's marketplace.city. The name is the website. And governments and vendors can both sign up for free and get more information on how they can get involved and post information or request things or all that. Or if you just want to learn more, you can email hello@marketplace.city, hello@marketplace.city. And that will get you to the right place and get you the right information you need, whether you're, you know, a government, a vendor, or just an interested citizen.
Well, again, thank you so much for your time. Clearly, we're talking about purchasing for cities, but it's such a bigger issue than that, leading straight up to the most important, which is maintaining our trust in government. So I can't thank you enough for the work that you're doing, for taking some time to join us today on Preview of Tomorrow. Andrew Watkins, thank you so much.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And thank you for tuning in to this episode of Preview of Tomorrow. Listeners like you are essential to advancing our efforts to drive resiliency and sustainability for all. I ask that you give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever streaming platform you prefer. Your feedback helps us to grow and share these brief previews of what life in the future can be. In addition to thanking our guest today, I want to thank Peter Roy and Demetria Bridges for making this podcast possible. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and encourage others to also join us each week in previewing the possibilities of tomorrow.
Preview of Tomorrow is brought to you by Leading Cities, a global nonprofit driving resilience and sustainability for all by unleashing the potential of the world's cities. Join them at leadingcities.org.